In the war in Ukraine, a new round of military aid is expected from the United States. It would be the second in 2 weeks. This as Russian forces step up preparations in the east, and Ukrainian troops mount a potential last stand in Mariupol. Now, individual Americans have gone over to fight on their own, and that includes Malcolm Nance, a former Navy cryptologist. He's a terrorism analyst and former contributor to MSNBC. And this week, Nance said he had joined a group of foreign fighters in Ukraine. From Ukraine, Malcolm Nance, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's glad to be here under certain circumstances.
Well, let me ask you about the circumstances. You went over, you said, about a month ago. What was it that made you decide, you know what, I want to go over and fight?
Well, if any of your listeners know me from MSNBC, I was the terrorism, intelligence, and national security analyst. And I spent most of January and right up to the day of the invasion in February, analyzing the Russian order of battle, which roads, we actually drove every road that the Russians would have to invade on to get a feel for the type of activities, you know, how long it would take them to move, how many gas stations, things like that. You know, there's nothing that could be substituted from being on the ground and when you're talking about an invasion by a large force. And while I was there, I became friends with people that it turns out that I had known in some instances who were in the Ukrainian army, other graduates of Defense Language Institute, where I went to school, you know, when I was a baby cryptologist, and, you know, interpreters who were assigned at the battlefront and down in Advitsa, which is where Ukraine has been facing off against the Russians and their occupation forces since 2014. And we were briefed by the battle commander there. And at the end of our briefing, you know, when most journalists were asking him ludicrous questions like, what are you going to do when the Russians come? And he goes, I've got the Russians 210 feet to our east. You know, he jokingly said while we were taking a selfie, he goes, you clearly have been in the military. Why don't you join our army? And I said, well, you know, I said, we'll see about that. You want a four-year contract. And within days, you know, 10 days later, my friends who were there, who were actually the interpreters for that press junket, were calling us and saying, we're going to die tonight. You know, we're being hit with we've been hit with 500 rounds of artillery and mortar. And in the past year, they had like 12. So the Russians were full on invading. And they were going to kill everyone there. And you know, it just it woke something in me, and that feeling of what are you doing? You know, you're going on air, you're giving color commentary, you're pointing to maps, and you're saying this is what's happening with Russia. You were just on the ground there, and these are your friends, and you know people are going to die. All the nice people that you met are going to be at risk of dying, including I was in a hotel in Kyiv, and my neighbors were Afghan refugees. You know, including this cute little boy, Muhammad, who would come over and open our room door because he, you know, 2 years old, knows how to open your doors. And they had left Afghanistan and were now in the middle of an amazing invasion. And, you know, the first reports of people, you know, that, you know, dying and some of the horrific scenes, I said, that's it. I'm done. I didn't renew my contract, which was coming up. And I went over. I took my military
Your cable TV contract, you mean?
Right.
So because you'd been in touch with these people on the ground in Ukraine, you get yourself there. You have been on TV in the States with a rifle and combat gear. Are you in a combat unit now? What can you tell us?
Yeah. You might have heard that on 27 February, President Zelensky announced that they were forming a unit of foreign fighters, asking for foreign volunteers to come and to join a Ukrainian army unit called the International Legion for Ukrainian Defense. And that is an official Ukrainian army foreign legion. It is a legion made up of people from many nationalities. I mean, just on the one bus that I took to go to training, you know, and the people arrayed behind me was an American woman who was a combat veteran medic with the Marines, an Australian, a New Zealander, a German next to me, a Pole, and a Colombian. That's just the rows of two seats that I was sitting in. And most of the bus was Americans. And that was one bus four and a half, almost 5 weeks ago. So, you know, the organization is very large. These are not freelancers, people who just went there, wanted to get a rifle and go out there. They've been trained, they've been vetted, they have equipment, and they are sistered up, they're married up on the battlefield with a with an equal Ukrainian army battalion.
And on the battlefield, you on the battlefield are doing what? What can you tell us about what you're doing?
Well, for the most part, right now, every Legionnaire is a combat veteran, and every Legionnaire is expected to do combat, is expected to be on the line in some way, shape, or form. There's no rear area jobs. There are no logistics or training jobs, things like that. Each individual organization that gets assembled has its officers that are Ukrainian, and the soldiers themselves, you know, based on their experience, pick the non-commissioned officers to lead them, and then they go and they patrol and carry out combat operations as designated by the Ukrainian army, just like every other Ukrainian army unit that's out there. And if the Russians attack, you defend. If you're on the attack, you attack.
And combat operations where? It had been reported that you are or were in Lviv.
Well, I'm not on the line right now. As a matter of fact, I'm a special little snowflake. Principally because there was a concern that I was just so high profile. You know, I mean, I had a million followers on Twitter. I had thousands of, you know, 50,000 on Facebook or some crazy number. And, you know, of course, I was the face. I was the only African-American in national security in the entirety of
US media. Oh, so they decided we can't afford to put you on the combat front?
No, that's not it. They decided that to roll out the Legion, they would bring its most high-profile person. And I feel that I'm a good spokesman for the Legion right now. They have a press secretary, they have a PR person, but they wanted to show that the you know, there's been a lot of press that the Legion, in some instances, said didn't even exist. It was never formed or it collapsed. And you know, with my profile, I could reveal the Legion as a major force in this country and answer questions properly.
And so just to understand, so you're speaking for this foreign legion, are you also on the combat front?
Well, I'm not right now, but I will be. And every person in the legion is expected to be. So the combat front in Ukraine is Ukraine. Where I'm at out, you know, where I'm at this undisclosed location in Western Ukraine is where our logistics and training hubs are and where the press is, to be quite honest. You have to drive 7-10 hours to get to Kyiv. You know, and as you know, the siege of Kyiv, the fighting there has been lifted. Now the real war is occurring near Kharkiv on the Russian border with the attacks in the Azumi salient and down into the south. And those operations are ongoing and they won't end in the next week, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, Malcolm, you know, on social media, some are calling you a hero. Others question what you're doing. And my question for you is, you know, what if you or another American, say from that bus, get captured and suddenly the U.S. gets drawn into this war much more directly than it is now?
Well, the United States can't get drawn much more into this war than it is right now. The presence of American citizens is not necessarily a factor that I would expect the White House to have to work with. So, you know, I was chief of survival, you know, evasion, resistance, and escape. So I'm well aware of what happens when you have a hostile force that does not respect the Geneva Convention, that engages in brutality. But let me tell you something very specific. The Russians don't care who they're killing. They don't care if it's a black American legionnaire or if it's a, you know, a Colombian or if it's a Ukrainian child. These people are a horde. They are not a military force. So the risk to me, as opposed to the average citizen near the battlefront, is much, much less severe than it is to, you know, the average person who happens to be in the path of this horde.
Are you worried about being captured, about being wounded, killed?
No. Not at all. I mean, I spent 20 years in the U.S. Armed Forces. I spent 15 more years working for directly in the U.S. intelligence community. And I have my brothers and sisters in the Legion to my left and my right. You know, we all have a purpose here. We are here to defend the people of Ukraine. If I'm killed, well, then I've given my life for a cause that I came here to believe with. And perhaps, you know, that loss, that sacrifice will mean that maybe 10 or 15 kids won't get killed. And whatever I can do to help the war effort, I'm going to do it.
Malcolm Nance, terrorism expert and former Navy cryptologist, has joined the Legion of Foreign Fighters in Ukraine, and he speaks to us from Western Ukraine. Malcolm, thank you for the time, and stay safe.
My pleasure.